just keep on saying what God's word says about you and keep on acting great. That's what we're talking about. You are what you say and you are what you see. When the word of God says confess your sins to God, he's saying say the same thing. Come into agreement with what God's word says and turn away from it. Yes, God, you said that this thing that I'm doing is wrong, but you have also given me the power to live victorious. I choose the life of victory in Christ Jesus. That's how you resist the devil.
Lord. Welcome to Pentecost Sunday, the Feast of Shavuot. Hallelujah. Well, every church, I don't care which one, Methodist, Presbyterian, United, every church, Lutheran, Catholic, every church, at one point, was Pentecostal. Why do I say that? Because the church started on the day of Pentecost, when they gathered up in that upper room in Jerusalem and the Holy Ghost came upon them. And that day, as Mama read to us, 3,000 souls came to the Lord. That was the birthday of the church. Now, prior to that, there was another Pentecost, because Pentecost, or Shavuot, was the day that the Ten Commandments were received by Moses. On that fateful day, 3,000 people died because they were doing something that was totally foreign to what God wanted them to do. They were serving and giving allegiance, worship, and adoration to that which they had created with their own hands, with the resources God gave to them. I want you to remember that. They'd built a calf with the stuff God gave to them that was meant to build his tabernacle. The same is still true today. As we come to this Pentecost, we must ask ourselves, what is it that we're doing? Are we worshiping something that we've built with our hands? With our might, with our power, with our wisdom? Are we worshiping our business? Worshiping our education? Worshiping whatever, and not the only true God? On the day of Pentecost in the New Testament, they were shut in. They were afraid. They were compromised. And God came there and turned their story around. Because instead of fear, they had boldness to speak boldly what God was doing in that present moment. So Pentecost becomes a time where we break the stronghold of fear. Because the reason they were worshiping the calf was because of their fear. Moses, the one who brought us out, is dead. What are we going to do now? We've got to go back to what is familiar. Is that what interests you today? What is familiar, what is comfortable, what is more reliable and based on your senses? Or are you going to step into a fresh move of God where that which seemed meaningless, because tongues is the word glossolalia, and it means gibberish, baby talk. But God taking your baby talk, your so-called gibberish, and making it language that others can understand. It breaks you from the place of limitation, where you rely on what you think you know, to recognizing that God can take your little and make it much. There they were huddled together, 120 plus people, in fear. And God breaks them out of that limitation of fear and says, you're not staying limited anymore. You're going to reach out to the multitudes from every nation that was there. I'm going to give you capacity to speak the language of the people you come to meet and the people that come around you. Do not be afraid. I am with you. I will help you. I will strengthen you and uphold you with my right hand of righteousness. That's the God of Pentecost, of Shavuot. What does Pentecost mean? It also means, and it's also called the Feast of Harvest. The Feast of Harvest. Well, in the Old Testament, they harvested what they did not want. They harvested death. But here, there's a harvest of souls coming into the kingdom of God. It is called the Feast of Ingathering, because God is gathering his people. It is called the Feast of Weeks. This is one feast that has so many names. The Feast of Weeks, because it is 50, and 7 times 7 is 49. 7 is the number for rest. So Pentecost becomes the time where God is saying, rest, 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 rest. And again I say rest, because I am giving you a new start. Because 7 times 7 is 49 plus 1 is a new beginning. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I am starting afresh from the place of rest. Pentecost, 50. It means jubilee, freedom, deliverance, debt cancellation, restoration of that which has been lost. God is speaking to us today and saying to us, hey, I am not only giving you a new beginning, I am restoring to you that which has been lost. I am delivering you from every captivity. I am canceling your debt. I'm bringing you into a place of divine freedom. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Word of God says to us, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, but ye shall receive power. Someone say power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Let me stop there for a moment. You're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That which precedes power is the Holy Ghost. If you want power from God to accomplish anything, you have to have the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is where the dynamic, dynamite power of God rests. I don't know if you heard what I said. You have to have the Holy Ghost for the manifestation of the power of God. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, it talks about the earth in a demolished state, in a messy state. And then it says the Holy Spirit brooded upon the waters. Then God began to speak. And the first thing God spoke was, let there be light. Let there be light. Now, don't take that statement casually, because this is a very important point. Let me put it to you this way. Don't get lost with this statement. Just stick with it. God is not answering any prayers. God has answered all prayers. Hello? God is not answering any prayers. God has answered. The problem is that I don't see what God has already provided. The provision has been made, but I need sight to see. And what God does first is to proclaim when there's mess and darkness and confusion all around you. All he says is, say, let there be light. Be enlightened. The entrance of the Word of God gives you enlightenment so that you can see the ram that is caught. I need to see what God has already done. God is not doing anything. He's resting. And he calls you and I to his rest. And Pentecost is about you and I stepping into the rest of God, speaking the language of God, seeing the sights of God, and perceiving the mind of God connected to us and us to him, because we are walking in the truth. Hallelujah. Are you with me so far? So it is not more prayer. It is more seeing. Because in the seeing, you will know the goodness of God. The Bible says, and God saw the light, that it was good. And from that place, he began to separate light from darkness. May God separate darkness from you and I. For the Word of God says, we are the light of this world. Hallelujah. If anybody should have supernatural insight, foresight, hindsight, any kind of sight, it must be the believer. the one who's been called by God. So the word of God tells us in Acts chapter 5 and verse 32 that God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, who is the witness, just like we are the witness of what God is doing, whom God had given to them that obey him. God gives those that obey him the Holy Ghost. It's not for everybody. But who is the person who's obeying him? The one who is worshiping. Because worship is obedience. It's nothing else. It's not singing. We're having a worship service. No, it's not. We're singing. We're playing instruments. Now, it includes that. But what true worship is our obedience. And God gives to his people who are obedient to him the Holy Ghost, so that he can give to them his power. Because power in the wrong hands is disaster. Hello? God gives to those who are obedient to him the Holy Ghost, so that he can give them his power. Now that word obey, that Greek word can also be translated as believe. So you may say, and so is also the Holy Ghost whom God had given to them that believe him. Because people that believe God obey God. Hello? If you don't believe God, you won't obey him. God says to you, go do such and such. But you don't believe him, you will not do it. You cannot be a believer and not be obedient. Yeah, I say that again. You cannot be a believer and not be obedient. For example, if you believe God and what God's word says about giving, you'll be a giver. But if you don't believe God and you believe in what you can manufacture with your own hands, you will not obey him. Plain simple as that. Now, what is the other name? And I'm going to come back to Acts chapter 1 in a moment. What is the other name of this particular feast? It is also called the Feast of the First Fruit. What is the first fruit? The first fruit is that which you receive first from the ground and you release it to God as an expression of thanksgiving. You mean, I don't know if there's going to be another fruit on this tree, but I'm plucking it all up and I'm giving it to God. What will happen if I don't get any more? You don't believe. Because if you believe, you'll release the first fruit to God. And when you release that first fruit to God, God begins to bless the rest. That's what first fruit is about. It says the rest is blessed because you produce the first fruit. You give it. You honor God. God, this is what you gave to me. I release it to you as an expression of my thanksgiving to the Lord. This is my first fruit. In everything that you do, the first fruit, release it so that God can bless the rest. I remember many years ago, the first time I went to preach somewhere in the U.S., it was in South Dakota. I was given an honorarium. I needed it. I turned around and I handed it over. I said, "This is what I receive. I give it to you, my first fruit." What was I doing? I was saying, this whole nation is going to be open to me. Hallelujah. God did not forget. He did not forget that the first time I released the first fruit. So when he needed somebody, and I know he has other people, he did not forget. Says, my son said he's releasing the first fruit. So now that I want somebody to go across all 50 states, you are the one, you're going to go. It doesn't happen by accident. You open doors in your life by honoring God at the Feast of First Fruits, which is Pentecost. That's why God says, no man should come empty-handed during this particular feast. There are three pilgrimage feasts. God calls the people to come to Jerusalem. And every male needed to come, and they shouldn't come empty-handed. You know, one time I asked the Lord, I said, why the male? He said, because they are the seed carriers. Males carry the seed. And I want to bless all of their seed. Now, Levi gave tithe in Abraham. But Abraham was not his father. But Abraham had given the first fruit. Hello? And therefore, God had to sanctify all of the seed going down the line. My seed sanctifies my lineage. It doesn't matter whether they run east, west, south, north, every direction. God, the God of the ingathering, will gather, because the first fruit has been released. Are we together? I pray you are following. What about this Holy Spirit that is given? The Bible says to us that is given to those who ask. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 13, the Lord talks about asking, seeking, and knocking. And it comes here in verse 13. It says, if ye then, being evil, notice the tense, present tense continuous. It says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Evil person giving good gifts. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So the Holy Spirit is a good thing to have. But you need to ask. Lord, I ask for your Holy Spirit to come and take residence in my life. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the revelator. The Holy Spirit is the one that will reveal to you things that you do not know. The Holy Spirit is the one that will help you escape dangerous situations. The Holy Spirit of God gives you wisdom. In Exodus chapter 31, Exodus chapter 31 and verse 2. Exodus 31 and verse 2. He says, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him. I have filled him with the Spirit of God. How? In wisdom and in understanding, verse 3, and in knowledge. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. Who is Bezalel? Bezalel is one of the slaves that was busy working in Egypt. But here he is, infilled with the Spirit of God, and he's doing creatively what he did not learn. Let me say that again. He's doing creatively what he did not learn. He didn't go to school to learn any of this, but he's acting creatively, accomplishing his assignment according to the will of God for his life. And now he's a blessing to God's people. He has wisdom. He has knowledge. He has understanding. In Isaiah chapter 11, Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2, Isaiah 11 and verse 2, we read these words. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Oh, there's so much more. The Spirit of God brings you all of this, including the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, which the Bible tells us causes you to depart from that which is evil. So without the Holy Spirit, you will not walk uprightly. You need the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 10, while you get in Acts chapter 6 and verse 10 in place, have Ephesians 1 and 17 ready to go. Acts 6:10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake. What is this? The presence and power of God on your life causes you to override and subdue every opposition. Praise the Lord. You need the Holy Spirit. You are competing with somebody, trying to get a contract, and they have all kinds of ins and outs, and they know this person and that person, and that person's cousin and uncle, and that person's husband and wife, and this person's nephew, and so on. So they know everybody, but you are Johnny Just Come and you know nobody. You need the Holy Spirit to outsmart all of them and get your contract. And they leave scratching their head, how did that happen? Well, you got the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 1 and 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This is what we need. It's not just the knowing of information out there. It is in knowing God. And for you and I to really, truly know God, And the word of God says the people that know their God, they're the ones that do exploits. Hallelujah. We need the Holy Spirit. You cannot move around and accomplish anything without the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of God is made available to you and I because we have the Holy Spirit. That's what causes you and I to be dynamic. The Holy Spirit causes us to receive the prophetic word of God. 2 Peter 1 and verse 2. 2 Peter verse 1 or chapter 1 and verse 2. Watch this. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now check 1 Peter 1 and 2. Notice this statement here. It says, according as his divine power, that's the power of the Holy Spirit, had given unto us all things. Had given to us what? All things. Had given to us what? All things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and to virtue. That's what God has called us to. He's called us to what? Glory and to virtue. Glory, what is that? The doxa of God. That is all that God is. God has called us to all that he is. So we have access to all that God has and is. And he called us to that and to virtue or excellence and empowerment from God. This is the working of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads us. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. Now, I am not giving you all the verses that I can possibly give to you. I'm just touching on one here and one there to help us understand. It says here in Acts 13 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. I want you to watch that word. And as they ministered to the Lord. How? In their worship and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. He gave them direction. Praise the Lord. He gave them specific direction. I have an assignment for these two. I want you to let them be. Let them go. He says, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. He gave direction. Now, what does that mean? They had to obey the instruction by actually separating them and saying, you can go on. Go do what God is calling you to do. He says, and when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them. They sent them away to go do their assignment. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, 2 Timothy 1 and 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of what? Of fear, but of what? Power, and of love, and of a sound mind, or a sound disciplined mind. That's what God gave to us. He didn't give us fear. He gave us power. John 14 and verse 26 tells us that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. John 14, 26. But the comforter, and that's one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, he's a comforter. The paraclete, the one who comes alongside of you. which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. How does he send it? In the name of Jesus. What does that statement mean? It means that the Holy Spirit comes to represent Jesus. Are we together? So, when you're calling on the name of the Lord, the Holy Spirit's role is to make certain that you see. The Holy Spirit's role is to make certain that you see the answer to what you are asking for. Did you get that? Because if the Holy Spirit does not show to you what the Father has already provided in Christ Jesus, you falter, you fail, you are defeated, and therefore, he's not played his role. He has one primary role, to show to you what Jesus, through the Father, is revealing. The Holy Spirit's role is to open your eyes to see. Are we together? Okay. He is given to us in the name of Jesus. He shall teach you all things. He shall what? Teach you. That means that you and I are ignorant to how God does what God does. And so the role of the Holy Spirit is not only to reveal to you, but to also teach you the ways of God, so that you know what to do and how to do it, when to do it, and follow through with the timing of God. And bring all things to what? Your remembrance. He helps you to remember. How many times have God taught me something and after a while, I forget it. And I start asking for something again, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit reminds me, you know, this is what you're supposed to do. Oh, yeah. And I do it, and the frustration is gone. And the limitation is gone. Because He reminds me about what the Lord had said. God speaks to us many times. We forget what God said. That's why sometimes when I pray, I say, God, I know we've talked about this before and I forgot. What was it? Help me, Lord. Help me, Holy Spirit, to remember. And the information is back. Now I'm not feeling my way through life. Now I know what to do. Hallelujah. That when that happens, you have the peace of God. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. They say the world gives you booze, so you forget about your problems temporarily until the alcohol. How many of you know alcohol is called spirit too? Huh? It's not coincidence. It's a spirit. That's the kind of spirit the world gives to you. Drugs, sorcery, huh? Pharmaceuticals to help you calm down, and when you need to get high, they give you a high, so you go up and you go down. You don't know where you are. No, the spirit that God gives you is a spirit of peace. It's not like the world gives. It says, give I unto you, let not your heart be what? Troubled. Neither let it be what? afraid. Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. But guess what? He says, let not. That is your act of obedience. Let not. God is not going to help you do that. You need to do that by tapping into the help that God has already provided you. Say, I choose not to be worried. I choose not to be troubled by this situation. It's trying to cause me to lose my peace, but the peace that Jesus gives to me is not the peace that the world gives that falters. God's peace overrides. In fact, the peace of God, it says, the God of peace shall crush Satan under your feet. God becomes your father and your fighter, and makes certain that as a God of war, you are not the victim, but the victor. Somebody shout hallelujah. What does this Holy Spirit do? Acts 4:31 tells us. Acts 4:31. He says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. Not timidity. Boldness. The Holy Spirit gives you boldness to declare the will of God done here in the earth as it is in heaven. Praise the Lord. What does the Holy Spirit help us do? It helps us to pray. Jude 1 and verse 20. Jude chapter 1 and verse 20. It says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. As you pray in the Holy Ghost, you build yourself up in your most holy faith, because you're praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. Ephesians 6 and 18. What does it say? Praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watch the next statement. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then it goes on in verse 19. And for me, that offerings may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. In Romans 8 and verse 26, it tells us that the Holy Spirit helps us to intercede. It helps us in our intercession. Likewise, the Spirit also, what? Helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. With groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. In essence, the Holy Spirit takes my place and begins to pronounce and declare unto the Father what it is that I need. Because I don't know what I need. But the Holy Spirit knows. He knows my history. He knows my past, my present, my future. And he begins to cry out to God, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to what? The will of God. I'm praying some foolish prayer. The Holy Spirit steps in there and says, let me help this boy. Because he doesn't know what he's talking about. This is what he needs. Don't you need that help? I know I do need that help every day. Every day. Because I see in part, but God sees everything. And the Holy Spirit wants to make sure that I make it. That I don't fail, I don't falter. That I make it. May He, the God of our peace, help us. Amen? Hallelujah. What does the Holy Spirit do? He gives us hope. Romans 15 and verse 13. We have three things that abide: love, faith, and hope. Hope is that space in time from when you ask to when you receive or see the manifestation of what you are asking for. That distance between the beginning and the end is a time of hope. And that time of hope is crucial. Because if your hope fails, you will be sick in your mind, sick in your body. Hope deferred maketh the heart go into a state of depression. So now, he says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. When you are well enough, your gas tank gets filled. I say, when you are running dry and you are now on fumes, the God of hope will do two things for you. He will fill you with joy and peace and cause you to believe again, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit helps you to abound in hope. It doesn't matter how long, you are still on track. Abraham, you're going to have a baby. 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, 25. That's a long time. But you keep hoping. But when God comes and says, I want that child that I promised you, sacrificed on the altar in a place I'm going to show to you. And while he's approaching Moriah, the Bible says he saw it a far distance away. In 3 days, he arrives there. And he is about to slay his son that God called his only son, even though he had another son that was born out of the flesh. God opened his eyes, and the Bible says he saw behind him a ram caught. Can you imagine that when he lifted up his eyes, he did not see? Isaac will be dead. Can you imagine that when he heard the voice of God, he did not obey? Isaac will be dead. Obedience is you responding to the will of God as he speaks to you. Because God will say yes one moment, and then he might say no. Don't continue going with yes when you already said no, because you'll be on your own. You need to obey God. Let me wrap up. Second Corinthians 3:17 tells us that God gives us freedom. Galatians 5:16 tell us that God gives us victory over sin. But I want to look. It says, this I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But let's look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. It says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. He goes into the deep things of God. It goes into the annals of documents and pulls out information. Just like the Word of God says, he is also an advocate. He goes in and pulls out information. Why? To vindicate, to deliver, to help us have access to what God has for us. I pray that you're hearing what I'm saying to you by the Spirit of God. When the Holy Spirit came, the Bible says, it was in the likeness of fire, flames of fire. What does that symbolize? And what is God trying to say? God is trying to say to us, I want you ignited. I want you so hot that no fly can perch on you. Let me say that again. God wants you and I ignited and fired up so that we are so hot that no fly can perch, rest on you. The fly will be fried up, barbecued. May the fire of God so rest on every one of us that the presence of evil that tries to come anywhere close to us be consumed by fire. For God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rise with me. Heavenly Father, I've declared to your people as much as I can from the volume of all that you have done. Today I ask for just a handful of things for everyone here and everyone listening to me right now and in the days to come. I ask, oh God, that you fire us up with that fire from your very presence, from your altar. And Lord, oh God, that this fire be so strong and so mighty that it consumes everything that does not belong. But Lord, O God, that this fire will also receive the sacrifice that we lay on the altar. We thank you, Lord, that your people were in one place and in one accord. And you said they will receive of your Holy Spirit, and that they will be witnesses of you, witnesses unto you in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the utmost parts of the earth. Let the fire of your Spirit rest upon us today and cause us, O God, to be witnesses unto you in every land, in every sphere, in every realm. Let your fire, O God, so burn that it causes us to be purified in our hearts. So, Lord, O God, that every dross be removed, every iniquity be eradicated. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless your people today. Lord, O God, I declare in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that everyone, O God, be activated by the Spirit of truth. Lord, O God, that will not be candlesticks that have oil without the fire of God. But Lord, O God, but that we'll be ignited by your spoken word. Purify our hearts, O God. Make it like gold and as precious silver. Lord, do not leave us to our own devices, but let mercy reign. Let grace abound. Let your capacity be infused into us. We say yes to your word, yes to your will. Help us be everything you say we can be. We walk in freedom. We walk delivered, we walk set free. We walk in the blessings of Jubilee, the blessings of Pentecost. Let the harvest of the Lord come in. For you are the God who added to your church daily such as should be saved. And you greatly multiplied your people. And Lord, O God, your word increased so mightily that there was not anything that could resist it. Do in us and for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And help us to do that which we've called us to do. Lord, let your blessings have an exponential factor attached to it. So, Lord, that our little becomes much. In Jesus' mighty name, I decree so. Amen and amen.